Yasmin and Izzy, thanks for coming back on the Circle Sessions.
Yeah, thank you for having us back.
I love this topic we're going to talk about on this episode because everyone addresses this. Everyone has projects that they want to do, but they also look at it from the standpoint of like, we want to do this, but we have no money. We have very little. How do we approach, you know, marketing something on a shoestring budget? And the items that you've marked out for this episode are fantastic ideas. Let's jump right into it. I think your first idea about, you know, marketing on a shoestring budget, big impact for entrepreneurs is what we're going to call this episode, is leveraging free social media tools. Talk about that.
Well, when you first said we're talking about the budget, I thought you were talking about my life. And I was like, yeah, that is how it goes. But I'm actually going to toss it over to Izzy since she's more of the hip, cool version of rebel marketing.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Apparently I'm hip and cool now. Just using platforms like Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn, depending on like what your business is. I would say TikTok, but we don't know. So I'm just going to leave that out right now. But TikTok was a great platform to just kind of get a new range of people that you probably wouldn't have connected with before. I think Reels is on its way there. It's the AI is getting a little bit smarter. But basically also just thinking like time is money too. So you don't want to be spending a ton of time on your socials and different things like that unless you're really seeing the difference within it or if it makes sense for your business. So just throwing a few things out there. Also, just making sure that your content fits who you are and what your company does, making it genuine to also get those interactions with people who already know you. Like if I posted like a black and white thing on our Instagram and it was just like plain text and something, it probably wouldn't get likes because that's not really what we define ourselves as. Instead, I just like make a AI video of Yasmin doing gymnastics. So, because that fits our brand more. But yeah. And then also using things like, Canva to create different, infographics or different things that you might want to present, like education wise to your audience is also good. Canva's free. But they have a bunch of templates that are free as well. So,
I will say real quick, though, I went to a local place here. It's called Ochurros. It's on, if you're local to Columbus, it's on Henderson yesterday. And there was somebody in line who was literally looking. I think it was a reel. I think it was on Instagram. They were looking at a video and right before they were going to order. And it was like they were looking at the video and then looking up at the menu. And so they were new. And the video probably is something that brought them to that location. So, and it didn't look like an ad. So it's, and yes, I was snooping what they were doing on their phone, but social media can go really far for your business, especially if you have eye candy like food or a product.
Well, and we can't forget about optimizing a website for SEO. Obviously, you need a landing. You need somewhere for that person, those people to go to learn about whatever you're putting together. So let's talk about, you know, the fundamentals, let's put it that way, the basic SEO practices.
Yeah. So when it comes to websites and different things, the way that I look at SEO is how am I going to search this? How are you going to search this? How is my mom going to search for this? How is my grandma going to search for this? It's all going to be different, but we're all trying to get the same result. So putting in keywords throughout the website, kind of aiming at those different audiences. Also location, location's big, kind of helps narrow down what people are looking for. So if people were to just type in like marketing firms, we'll probably not be at the top of the list, but marketing firms in Columbus, we're going to be ranked higher because that's what people are searching for, technically. And then also backlinks or something. So like if you get mentioned on somebody else's website, then you're building that on the back end as well. And then also just keeping track of your Google Analytics, see what's working. And if it's not working, change it up.
Yeah, I think you mentioned in the notes here too, and I agree. I think Google My Business is overlooked a lot. I think just because it's tied to a map of where you are, especially if you're an event-driven piece here that you're looking at an event or restaurant, or you are looking for traffic. Don't forget about Google My Business. It's another piece that's tied to Google, and it's kind of a low-hanging fruit. You don't have to host a massage to that very often, maybe once a week, from what I have researched and what I've done too.
May I just say one thing about websites? I've noticed, yes, you can do the SEO, and then the person building the site might not know how to build it properly. Does that make sense? So you can put a lot of work, time, or money into the SEO content, getting somebody like Izzy to do the research and then massage it and make this amazing, appropriately brand appropriate tone of voice, everything kind of copy. And then you hand it over and you need to make sure that that other side, that other team member also knows how to build the site in a way. For example, all platforms have their quirks, and Squarespace, certain quirks that I've learned about in the past years. If you put a block in, they call it a block. If you put a thing of text in there and then an image, bots will scan it the way you have placed it in, not the way the visual looks. So hopefully, if without giving you an actual visual of what I'm talking about, if you place the headline first and then some body copy, that's what it's going to read. If you place the body copy first and then the headline, even if you move it visually, it's not going to read it that way. So you want to make sure that somebody like Izzy's brain can mesh with whomever is building the site in order for that all to work cohesively.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. You got to be careful how you put it together. That's interesting. Yeah. So, a lot of people poo-poo email marketing, but it's something that's solid that you own. Nobody can take it away from you. Talk a little bit more about email marketing, Izzy.
Who's poo-pooing email marketing?
I've heard so many. It's because it's old school. It's been around forever, and it's that. But it's proven. And I'm I had to learn to love it too. I didn't quite understand it until maybe 15 years ago or so. And it's like, yeah, and to me, it's the piece of nobody can take that anything of that away from you. You own the email addresses; they are your people. Versus like social media platforms or relying on YouTube or something like that could go away tomorrow. Email marketing does not go away tomorrow. It's there. Those people have opted in to receive information from you. That's the cool thing about it.
Yeah. So if you're poo-pooing email marketing, you're probably not doing it right.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Basically, with like what you were just saying, you have direct connection to the audience that signed up to be there. Why would you not like it? But also, the people who probably hate it is the people who are getting spammed all the time with different emails. Yeah. They're not opening it, or they're like, when did I sign up for this? So also, always make sure that you're getting emails of people who want to be there, and then two, don't send out like 3 emails a week, because then that's going to get, oh, I'm seeing your name in my inbox too much, unsubscribe. I like to keep it short and simple. If we have things going on, promote that, different things that kind of gives them a benefit for even opening up the email. But also using tools. We use Flowdesk, but there's MailChimp. There's a bunch of different ones out there. That are cheap to use, but it also can kind of tie in your branding and what your business looks like through email marketing and creating that visual that keeps backing your branding. So I think it's great. But
yeah, I think your next point here too, of looking at your existing content that you have and repurposing it. I know Yasmin and I have been talking about this forever and been doing it forever too with podcasts and such. I mean, Yasmin, can you talk a little bit more about, looking what you have already and how do you turn it into something else?
Yeah. So, okay, repurposing content just saves you time. So if you are on a budget, what you can do if you are focusing in on your social or your SEO, and you can cut your article that you wrote, a blog article, say, and you get snippets of it and create a videos or posts for social media. And then back to email marketing, you can then create maybe at least one newsletter. Or if you are focusing in on like LinkedIn, I know LinkedIn has their own newsletter format, and they have like, you can write articles on there, repurpose that and put a different spin to it, or just expand upon that subject matter. And then put it on your website. So you're doing a lot less work. Or for example, here we're recording a video. We might or might not, I don't know, use the video. So if you are a podcaster, it would be great if you're recording these videos, even if you don't have the budget for a person to edit the video, or you're not really looking to do video yet. If it's evergreen content, you can then slice it, use it for social media, put it on YouTube, just repurpose the work that you've already done. And back, one thing about email marketing, though, before we hop off that topic, if you are on a budget, some of these platforms will charge you per the number of people that you have on your list. So in order to keep your list clean, you want to purge people that have not opened an email from you. So for example, there's lots of newsletters this new year, or new quarter, whenever this is going out. I am purposely looking at email newsletters that I'm getting, and I'm just unsubscribing if I haven't opened it in a long time. Some of them I haven't opened in 2 years and I'm still getting their newsletter. They are paying for me to be on their list. I'm not even maybe their target market anymore. And so purge your list of people who haven't done anything, or try to reactivate them in a different way, because you are paying for that in some way, or at least in the energy that you're sending out, you know, to these newsletters. You're branding, you know, maybe they feel like they're getting spammed by you because they're not your target market. They mark you as spam, and then that affects your whole marketing ecosystem. So just make sure that you're saving money by purging that list. And then the list that you do have, if you think that they're qualified, you can then, Izzy can probably speak to this a bit more, but like retarget them, send them a reactivation email, kind of get them back into the fold. And if that doesn't work, again, just purge them, because really they're just cluttering your list. And there's so much golden data, like Izzy said, in email marketing. Email marketing is just so powerful. You can gain so much insight from them on that same budget. You don't have to increase that budget, but you can get data from people at the most basic Klaviyo or MailChimp level.
And then when you're going through the process of purging, then you could also look at it differently that, okay, I'm purging this. What are they doing wrong that I better not do for my own email marketing campaign? That is it becoming too boring? Am I sending too many things out? Look at it differently when you're doing it. That's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah.
And you can recycle that content back to just repurposing that content. If you wrote something a year ago, maybe freshen it up a little bit, take a few minutes, read through it, and then send it out again. If it's a top, I don't know, if it was top 1999, that is a long time ago. I don't even know when Izzy was born, but that's a long time ago. Let's say it was 2023, like top items for podcasting in 2023. You can look back, update it for 2025 or whenever, and then resend it. You didn't have to do so much work, maybe a little bit of research, but you can just repurpose that content.
Right, exactly.
1999.
Yeah. Somebody was listening to Prince on the drive home or the drive to work. It's stuck in your head. I think we also overlook our local resources, our community resources, groups that you're already a part of.
2023, I think it was 2022. I did a whole, I was everywhere. I was trying to be everywhere. And what I've learned, yes, you can do that for a while, especially if you're trying to figure out which groups are for you and which ones you feel best in and which ones give you a good ROI. Because a group that makes you feel really comfortable and you love going to, that might not give you the clients, but it still fills your, what is that saying, fills your cup in a way. So you can continue going there and then look at the ones that do bring you clients or have people within them that you want to connect with. And then after what I called it a networking blitz, I went everywhere, and then reevaluate, look at where you've been and evaluate if it made you feel good, if you gained clients from it, how many clients, were they your favorite clients, or were they those clients that you kind of roll your eyes about having, right? And then pivot your strategy and hone in on the ones that you really want to go to, especially if you're on a budget. You don't want to be spending too much time and money on going to these events, because it does cost you, if it, even the drive there is costing you your, if you want to call it your hourly rate to get there. So that's what I would do for these organizations. And just again, look at which ones you feel comfortable in and which ones could give you either connections to the people you need to get in front of or actual clients.
I think the way you tested it out is similar to what I've heard other people do, and I tried as well too. Just you almost have to give it a year because different events happen at different times. And really, yes, it's you're going to spend a little bit of money. Some events are free. Some of these, the chamber events are free or networking events, but there's also some cost to it. But I think going into it and really evaluating each one that you do, what do you get out of it? I agree. I went through that as well too a couple of years ago, and it's exhausting for sure, but I think you start to learn about yourself and you learn about what's available out there. And be able to, for me at least, be able to judge what events you get a better read on what events you should or shouldn't be there because you've been at them through various the various timeline during the year. I agree. It's well worth the time to do that. We are about halfway through this list. Let's go with a part two on this. I think because I really the other line items that you present in this, I think I really want to flesh out. And if we do a two-parter, I think that would be great for the listener and for all of us. I think I can encapsulate it in my mind thinking, but you have to plan ahead. You have to plan ahead, no matter even if you're buying time, or you have a great big budget, or you have a shoestring budget, you still have to plan ahead. And I think a good way to do that is to contact you guys to kind of help with that. What would be the best way to contact both of you?
Yeah, so you can find us on LinkedIn. That's where we're most active. You can just search up my name or Izzy's name, and we pop up there. You can also go on our website, myrebelmarketing.com, and hit us up on the contact page. We're always excited to brainstorm. We do have, I mean, we can meet up and brainstorm a little bit. Izzy can come on board and talk about SEO and just kind of look through your stuff and do that. If more formal way, we do offer power hours where you basically lay everything out and we have a more targeted, it's not necessarily just brainstorming, it's a more targeted, how can we get you an ROI? And then we have those audits that they're a lot a slightly bigger than some of the other free audits that you might be getting out there. We dive a little bit deeper into the whole marketing ecosystem, not just your website or your social, but everything, what is going on, how are they connecting? Let's nerd out, look at the data, and then give you an actual roadmap after that. We're not just going to give you the reports. Izzy will explain everything, and then she actually gives you, again, it's like a roadmap of what do you even do after you get. It's not like we're going to dump a baby on you. We give you a here's how you can keep it alive kind of thing.
Right.
Izzy, anything
Great.
else you want to add?
Good description.
Oh, that was great.
Super. And we do the same thing here at Circle 270 Media. You can go to my scheduling calendar, mypodcastguy.com, and we take the same approach as both they do. Yeah, we can take a look at what's wrong, but if you don't have any actionable items, what good does it do? Well, thank you both for being a part of the episode, and I look forward to getting part two done with shoestring budget items.
Yeah, thank you for having us.